Today we're going to be continuing in the series of messages on becoming God's champion. When we look at champions, we get the idea that they are men and women that serve in different capacities. Maybe it's in a pulpit ministry or a preaching ministry or a teaching ministry. Maybe it is a writing ministry or an evangelistic ministry. We think of champions as being those individuals that do those kind of things. But that's not the case. God truly wants each and every one of us to be His champion. Because champion defines who we are. Did you hear what I said? Champion defines who we are. See, as a champion, we may have a pulpit ministry. We may preach the gospel. We may write devotionals. We may write Sunday school literature. We may be a missionary on a foreign field. We may be on a praise team. There's all sorts of different things that we do because of who we are. And if we are God's champion, it is defining who we are, and who we are makes a difference on what we do, how God uses us. Champions are simply ordinary people that do extraordinary things through God's empowerment. See, that's why God has a vested interest in you. That's why He has given you a very special personality that's not like anyone else. He has given you spiritual gifts that you might be used in His kingdom, and He's been teaching you throughout your lifetime. And He's done that for one reason, and for one reason only. So that you can be His champion. And you can champion the cause of Christ. Now, when we look at being a champion, we know that it involves, first of all, salvation. But it involves many different things. And so today we're going to look at one aspect of what is involved in making us, or for us to become, God's champion. And that aspect we're going to look at today is sacrificing. When we look at the different champions that God used in His word, we think about Abraham. Abraham was a man that walked with God. He had a relationship with God for many, many years. And God told him that He was going to make him a father of a mighty nation, the nation that is so large that they are going to number more than the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea. That he would become the father of a mighty nation. Now, Abraham has a problem with that because he's not even a father yet. And so God's going to have to do something great. God is going to have to do a God-sized thing in order for Abraham to become the father of a mighty nation. So as you know, he had been married to Sarah for numbers of years. Sarah was beyond her years of bearing children. And all of a sudden, she comes up with child. Whoa! Praise the Lord. God's about to do something that's God-sized. Now, Abraham's going to be a father, and Sarah delivers a man-child by the name of Isaac. And so now we see the beginning, the budding of a promise of God, that God is making a promise to Abraham that he's going to be the father of a mighty nation. It's phenomenal. God asks him to do the unspeakable. To sacrifice the promise. Do you truly love me because of the promise I made you? Or do you love me because of who I am? That's why, in order to become God's champion, we have to be willing to sacrifice. Turn with me this morning to Genesis 22nd chapter. Genesis chapter 22, and we will look at God's call in Abraham's life to sacrifice. Genesis 22, beginning now in verse 1. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that we can come and worship you today. We thank you that you want us to be your champion. And Father God, that is an impossible task because we are imperfect. We are sinful creatures. And Father God, we have a hard time thinking of ourselves as champions. So Father, we know that you want us to be that, that it defines who we are. But Father, we don't know if you can do that in our lives as you did in Abraham's. So Father, help us to realize that truth today. We pray that every heart will be open. And Lord, that you will be glorified as we respond to you. And Father, that ultimately we might become your champion in this area, in this town, in this community, so that Christ will be exalted. For us, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. God's call in Abraham's life to be a champion was the very fulfillment of the promise. But now, God is wanting to take away something that he's given him already. God, how am I supposed to be the father of a mighty nation if I sacrifice my son, the one that you gave me, the one that you had Sarah bear? How are you going to do all of this, Lord? How are you going to fulfill that promise in my life? And so we see, first of all, the requirement for the sacrifice. Now, the requirement for the sacrifice is blind obedience. Do I have that? No. You can write that on your text, in your bulletin. Blind obedience. Look with me, please, in verse 18. It says, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Blind obedience is not walking blindly. It's not walking like this. Oh God, I trust you that I'm not going to fall off the stage. And we do peek. Blind obedience is not walking blindly. Blind obedience is seeing the danger, seeing the edge, and being willing to walk because God says, move forward. I heard a story about some young teens. They were up in one of the teens' bedrooms. I think they were a bunch of boys, and they were up there roughhousing and playing and so forth, and the father was going to run up and he was going to scorch the earth because of what he was hearing up there. And so one of the boys goes jumping out the window and he's holding on to the window like this. And the other boy says, go ahead and let go. And the boy hanging from the window says, is there another voice up there? See, he was only about that far off the ground. See, sometimes we don't trust God. We're not willing to have blind obedience. We need to see, first of all, Abraham's response. Look with me in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Abraham's response was one of, write it down, immediate action. Notice, he didn't get a committee together. He must not have been Baptist, amen? He didn't get a committee together. He didn't get a study put together to see what is involved in the sacrificing of one son. No, it was immediate action. The very next day, he had immediate action, and that was his response. It showed his willingness to obey God. See, if we truly have a willingness to obey God, that requires sacrifice. Sacrificing our intellect. You know, many times God calls us to go a direction and we question that. God, is this really what you want? Is this the direction that you're calling me to go? God, I can't understand this. God, I don't know why you would have me go this way. God, I don't know why you want me to put my baby in the Nile River and float him right down to Pharaoh's house, the man that wants to kill him. But God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, if we're truly going to be able to respond to God, it requires immediate action. And in order to do so, we have to sacrifice our intellect. We have to say, God, you're omniscient. You know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you. We have to sacrifice not only our intellect, but we have to sacrifice our finances. You know, this would cost Abraham something. He had to put the effort forth to walk 3 days to where God wanted him to go. He took a couple people with him, so they had to have some food. He had the wood. He had the fire. He had everything that was needed. It required him sacrificing the things that he had. Well, God, I had this wood all stored up for me here at home. I don't have enough for a burnt offering. We have to sacrifice our finances. Many times we hold on so tight. Our budgets just don't allow us to tithe. And I'm glad that that's not the case in this church, because this is one of the most giving churches I've ever pastored. We have to sacrifice our finances. We have to sacrifice our time. It's hard sometimes to have that intimate relationship with God. We live in such a hustle-bustle world. And it's hard sometimes to sacrifice the time that's necessary to have an intimacy with God. Not only did they have to sacrifice intellect and finances and time, but he had to sacrifice his own ego. What are the people back home going to think of me? What's going to happen? What are they going to think of me? You know, if you take the worship out of this story, it becomes a story of premeditated murder. What are the people going to think of me now? Am I still willing to be obedient? Abraham's response was one of immediate action. Secondly, we see Abraham's reaction. His reaction. Notice verse 3 once again. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. It was an intelligent accounting. That was his reaction. Okay, let's see. What am I going to need? I'm going to need this. 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 You know, I'm one that likes lists. We're going on a motorcycle trip, so I have to list all the things I have to do prior to that and all the things I'm going to pack. I list it out so that I don't have to keep it in this feeble mind. So I tell Kathy, it would be a good thing for you to make a list. That's what Abraham did. It was an intelligent accounting. Okay, let's see. I need wood for the burnt offering. I need the fire, so I'll take it in the little, help me, censer. There we go. The word was fleeting. He took everything that he needed. He's going to need help getting there. He took two people with him, took the ass with him to carry some of the food and the wood and this, that, and the other thing, and got everything that he possibly needs, you know. He wouldn't want to leave anything out and have some excuse. Because God knows our heart. Well, God, I just forgot the wood. And there's not a lot of wood up here on this mountain, so I guess I can't do it now. No, he had an intelligent accounting. He didn't want to have any excuse for God to say, okay, you didn't trust me. No. I'm going to cross every T, I'm going to dot every I, I'm going to make sure I do everything so that God can do what he said he's going to do. That was Abraham's response, reaction. See, I truly believe, go back up one time to verse 3, notice the last part of that verse. It says, and they rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Wow. See, I truly believe that if we're going to see God doing God-sized things, we have to do as God tells us. We have to do as God directs us. And God said, this is what I want you to do, Abraham. And so Abraham crossed every T, dotted every I, and loaded up the bus. And off to Mount Moriah they went. Well, thirdly, we also see Abraham's reverence. Look at verse 4 and 5, please. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. That's all right. That's Matthew's little monitor going off, letting us know that he's still alive. Just kidding. You guys are so serious today. Loosen up a bit. It is his monitor. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering. It was just 4 and 5, wasn't it? Okay. See how the monitor blew me off my task? Abraham's reverence was one of intimate association. Intimate association. He wanted it to be just him and God. Yeah, you needed Isaac there too. But we don't need the donkey. We don't need the two men. So you guys stay behind. Because that's not necessary for worship. See, in order to truly worship, you have to leave everything behind that's not necessary. We have so many things bombarding us today. We can have problems on the job that we're focusing on, and it's tearing us apart. And when we come to church, our minds are cluttered with those things. We have problems in our marriage. We have problems in our community. And when we're thinking about those things, it clogs everything up. And we cannot worship with all this stuff going on in our lives. Leaving everything behind. One of intimate association. There are times when I enter into my prayer closet. And I got so many things going on in my mind. And I try to pray and I try to focus. And there's just no way I can pray and focus until I clear my mind and clear my heart of all the clutter of this world. And when I can clear my mind and clear my heart of all the clutter of this world, then and only then can I come face to face with God and be intimate with Him. Because true worship involves sacrifice. It involves blind obedience. It involves a one-on-one connection. That's what God wants. You know, back then when they had to go someplace, they had to walk. Gave them plenty of time to think things through. They didn't have all the things going on. Now, we have so many time-saving conveniences. Where's all the time? Where's that time gone? It's clogged us up to where it's hard for us to have intimacy with God. Well, secondly, we need to see not only the requirement. I did have blind obedience up there. Did you put that in there? Okay. It was on the next slide. I'm sorry. Okay. Secondly, we see the revelation in this sacrifice. And the revelation in this sacrifice is best offerings. God wants the best offerings. He doesn't want our leftovers. He wants what's best. What we hold near and dear. So we need to look at the unspeakable cost. Look with me, please, at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Father and son go up the mountain to make the sacrifice, to worship. I would imagine in the heart and in the mind of Isaac, this was exciting for him. Wow, I've heard for years about God. I'm going to get to meet God. And so Isaac is excited about going up to worship with his daddy Abraham. Oh my goodness, this is my first opportunity to see God and to talk to God and have a relationship with God like my daddy has. Daddy, I see the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? Can you imagine what's in the heart and mind of Abraham? He answers his son and says, God will provide. And every step he takes, he's one step closer to reality. Every step he takes, he knows he's going to sacrifice his son. He knows the unspeakable cost. He knows the agony in his heart. He knows what it's going to take. But he's willing to take the next step. Oh, the unspeakable cost. What God would do for us on the cross at Calvary, the unspeakable cost of giving us His only Son to suffer and bleed and die that we would have eternal life. Oh, the unspeakable cost. God wants the best. But notice the unquestionable commitment. Look at verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Wow. He builds the altar. He puts the wood on the altar. He binds his only son Isaac and lays him on the altar. And he reaches over and grabs the knife. And he's about to sacrifice his son. Oh, the unquestionable commitment. Abraham saying, I'm willing to go all the way. See, I think God wants a few champions that are willing to go all the way. Amen? God wants us to be willing to go all the way. God wants us to be all in. Abraham reaches over and grabs the knife. See, if we're going to truly have an intimate relationship with God, there is no middle ground. It is an all or nothing call. There is no middle of the road. God wants our best. I wonder sometimes. I wonder in my own heart at times. God, am I giving you my best? Am I the champion you want me to be? I'm not perfect. I'm imperfect. I'm a sinful creature. I have doubts. But God wants unquestionable commitment. Thirdly, we see the unshakable confidence. Look back at verse 5 once again. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the young ass, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I think Abraham knew. I think God had told him and placed in his heart that he was going to take care of everything. See, the facing the challenge of life, having that confidence, knowing that regardless of what happens in our life, God wants what's best in our lives. And bad things happen, amen? But all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's going to cost us the most. It's going to cut us the deepest. It's going to hurt. But God wants that commitment. And he wants us to have that confidence that regardless of what happens, it's going to be all right. Well, thirdly, we need to see the reward by this sacrifice is blessings overflowing. Look with me, please, at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wanting blessings overflowing. That's the reward. Is your blessing cup overflowing? So that if one more blessing comes in, it's just going to overflow everything. Is that what's going on in your life? Come on. Is that going on in your life? It's not going on in mine. I can use some more blessings. How about you? But you know what? The reward for the sacrifice is blessings overflowing. To where we can't handle one more blessing. The greatest thing that can happen in your life is when God tests you and you are found faithful. To where you can say, God, you took the time out of your busy schedule. You took the time out of all the disasters in this world to do a work in my life. God, you took the time. God, thank you. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for blessing me as you have. Thank you for calling me to be your champion. It's not been easy. Paul said in his last letter, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul said, I am ready to be offered. It's been hard, it's been tough, but I fought a good fight. That's what Abraham was doing. You'll have no bigger blessing in life than to have God test you and call you by name. Craig, Craig. Abraham, Abraham. Saul, Saul. We need to see the power from this sacrifice. Look at verse 13 with me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Pause. What wild ram gets caught in a thicket by his horns? That doesn't happen in the wild. They're made in that area. It's their natural habitat. They don't get caught by a thicket. But they do if they're held by God. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen. God provided the sacrifice. Don't you know that Abraham was rejoicing? Don't you know that Abraham enjoyed sacrificing that ram? But don't you know that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son if that's what he had to do? But God intervened in his life and provided the sacrifice. just as God has intervened in each and every one of our lives by providing the sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. Because the Bible tells us the soul that sins must surely die. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. Lastly, we need to see the proof in this sacrifice. Look at verse 15, please. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. God kept his word. God will not fail. There is not one thing that God has ever done and he went, oh, rats, I should have done it this way. No. God knows the end from the beginning. And because he's omniscient, and because he's omnipotent, he is the only one that can do it and do it right. God is the one that provides the sacrifice. God is the one that made the difference in Abraham's life so that Abraham could truly become God's champion. Every time in my life, over and over and over again, through every transition in my life, God's hand has moved and God has been faithful. God, how are you going to take care of me? How are you going to provide for my family? How are you going to do all of this? And God says, trust me. And every time I've been tried, every time that I've been found faithful, I get the tremendous feeling that God has taken the time to do a work in my life that he's never done before. And I know that God loves me beyond mention because of the cross at Calvary. God wants us to be his champion. God requires the best sacrifice that we have. God will always reward our faithfulness. But the question is, what is God wanting to do through you? What is God wanting you to trust him for? We're going to have a song of invitation today. Maybe you've been struggling. Things on the job, things of the world, things in the family. Maybe God is just trying to do a work in your life that otherwise he would not have been able to do. So that you can get to know him in a new and fresh way that you've never known him before. We're going to have a song of invitation if our worship team would come. And this is your opportunity to simply come. Maybe there's a question in your heart and you need to have it answered. Am I saved? Have I given myself to the Lord? Am I by faith trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior? If you have that question, you can come forward and we can certainly pray about that. And I can show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Maybe there's a struggle that you have in your life that you need to have prayer about. You can come as we sing. This is your invitation. You come today. Let's all stand.